You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is certainly, without any doubt, the Hour of the Time, and may eventually turn into another day of infamy. That's right. You see, it appears that we have taken on the role of world policemen, just as I've always told you that we would.
Stand united with our allies for peace. By acting now, we are upholding our values, protecting our interests, and advancing the cause of peace. Tonight, I want to speak with you about the tragedy in Kosovo and why it matters to America that we work with our allies to end it. First, let me explain what it is we are responding to. Kosovo is a province of Serbia in the middle of southeastern Europe, about 160 miles east of Italy. That's less than the distance between Washington and New York, and only about 70 miles north of Greece. Its people are mostly ethnic Albanian and mostly Muslim. In 1989, Serbia's leader, Slobodan Milosevic, the same leader who started the wars in Bosnia and Croatia and moved against Slovenia in the last decade, stripped Kosovo of the constitutional autonomy its people enjoyed, thus denying them their right to speak their language, run their schools, shape their daily lives. For years, Kosovars struggled peacefully to get their rights back. When President Milosevic sent his troops and police to crush them, the struggle grew violent. Last fall, our diplomacy, backed by the threat of force from our NATO alliance, stopped the fighting for a while and rescued tens of thousands of people from freezing and starvation in the hills where they had fled to save their lives. And last month, with our allies and Russia, we proposed a peace agreement to end the fighting for good. The Kosovar leaders signed that agreement last week. Even though it does not give them all they want, even though their people were still being savaged, they saw that a just peace is better than a long and unwinnable war. The Serbian leaders, on the other hand, refused even to discuss key elements of the peace agreement. As the Kosovars were saying yes to peace, Serbia stationed 40,000 troops in and around Kosovo in preparation for a major offensive and in clear violation of the commitments they had made. Now they've started moving from village to village, shelling civilians and torching their houses. We've seen innocent people taken from their homes, forced to kneel in the dirt and sprayed with bullets. Kosovar men dragged from their families, fathers and sons together, lined up and shot in cold blood. This is not war in the traditional sense. It is an attack by tanks and artillery on a largely defenseless people whose leaders already have agreed to peace. Ending this tragedy is a moral imperative. It is also important to America's national interests. Take a look at this map. Kosovo is a small place, but it sits on a major fault line between Europe, Asia, and the Middle East, at the meeting place of Islam and both the Western and Orthodox branches of Christianity. To the south are our allies, Greece and Turkey. To the north, our new democratic allies in Central Europe. And all around Kosovo, there are other small countries struggling with their own economic and political challenges. Countries that could be overwhelmed by a large new wave of refugees from Kosovo. All the ingredients for a major war are there. Ancient grievances, struggling democracies, and in the center of it all, a dictator in Serbia who has done nothing since the Cold War ended but start new wars and pour gasoline on the flames of ethnic and religious division. Sarajevo, the capital of neighboring Bosnia, is where World War I began. World War II and the Holocaust engulfed this region. In both wars, Europe was slow to recognize the dangers And the United States waited even longer to enter the conflict. Just imagine if leaders back then had acted wisely and early enough. How many lives could have been saved? How many Americans would not have had to die? We learned some of the same lessons in Bosnia just a few years ago. The world did not act early enough to stop that war either. And let's not forget what happened. Innocent people herded in the concentration camps. Children gunned down by snipers on their way to school. Soccer fields and parks turned into cemeteries. A quarter of a million people killed, not because of anything they had done, but because of who they were. 2 million Bosnians became refugees. This was genocide in the heart of Europe, not in 1945, but in 1995. Not in some grainy newsreel from our parents' and grandparents' time, but in our own time, testing our humanity and our resolve. At the time, many people believed nothing could be done to end the bloodshed in Bosnia. They said, well, that's just the way those people in the Balkans are. But when we and our allies joined with courageous Bosnians to stand up to the aggressors, we helped to end the war. We learned that in the Balkans, inaction in the face of brutality simply invites more brutality. But firmness can stop armies and save lives. We must apply that lesson in Kosovo before what happened in Bosnia happens there too. Over the last few months, we have done everything we possibly could to solve this problem peacefully. Secretary Albright has worked tirelessly for a negotiated agreement. Mr. Milosevic has refused. On Sunday, I sent Ambassador Dick Holbrooke to Serbia to make clear to him again, on behalf of the United States and our NATO allies, that he must honor his own commitments and stop his repression or face military action. Again, he refused. Today, we and our 18 NATO allies agreed to do what we said we would do, what we must do to restore the peace. Our mission is clear: to demonstrate the seriousness of NATO's purpose so that the Serbian leaders understand the imperative of reversing course, to deter an even bloodier offensive against innocent civilians in Kosovo, and if necessary, to seriously damage the Serbian military's capacity to harm the people of Kosovo. In short, if President Milosevic will not make peace, we will limit his ability to make war. Now, I want to be clear with you. There are risks in this military action. Risk to our pilots and the people on the ground. Serbia's air defenses are strong. It could decide to intensify its assault on Kosovo or to seek to harm us or our allies elsewhere. If it does, we will deliver a forceful response. Hopefully, Mr. Milosevic will realize his present course is self-destructive and unsustainable. If he decides to accept the peace agreement and demilitarize Kosovo, NATO has agreed to help to implement it with a peacekeeping force. If NATO is invited to do so, our troops should take part in that mission to keep the peace. But I do not intend to put our troops in Kosovo to fight a war. Do our interests in Kosovo justify the dangers to our armed forces? I've thought long and hard about that question. I am convinced that the dangers of acting are far outweighed by the dangers of not acting, dangers to defenseless people and to our national interests. If we and our allies were to allow this war to continue with no response, President Milosevic would read our hesitation as a license to kill. There would be many more massacres, tens of thousands more refugees, more victims crying out for revenge. Right now, our firmness is the only hope the people of Kosovo have to be able to live in their own country without having to fear for their own lives. Remember, we asked them to accept peace, and they did. We asked them to promise to lay down their arms, and they agreed. We pledged that we, the United States, and the other 18 nations of NATO would stick by them if they did the right thing. We cannot let them down now. Imagine what would happen if we and our allies instead decided just to look the other way as these people were massacred on NATO's doorstep. That would discredit NATO, the cornerstone on which our security has rested for 50 years now. We must also remember that this is a conflict with no natural national boundaries. Let me ask you to look again at a map. The red dots are towns the Serbs have attacked. The arrows show the movement of refugees, north, east, and south. Already, this movement is threatening the young democracy in Macedonia, which has its own Albanian minority and a Turkish minority. Already, Serbian forces have made forays into Albania, from which Kosovars have drawn support. Albania has a Greek minority. Let a fire burn here in this area, and the flames will spread. Eventually, key U.S. allies could be drawn into a wider conflict, a war we would be forced to confront later, only at far greater risk and greater cost. I have a responsibility as president to deal with problems such as this before they do permanent harm to our national interests. America has a responsibility to stand with our allies when they are trying to save innocent lives and preserve peace, freedom, and stability in Europe. That is what we are doing in Kosovo. If we've learned anything from the century drawing to a close, it is that if America is going to be prosperous and secure, we need a Europe that is prosperous, secure, undivided, and free. We need a Europe that is coming together, not falling apart, a Europe that shares our values and shares the burdens of leadership. That is the foundation on which the security of our children will depend. That is why I have supported the political and economic unification of Europe. That is why we brought Poland, Hungary, and the Czech Republic into NATO and redefined its missions and reached out to Russia and Ukraine for new partnerships. Now, what are the challenges to that vision of a peaceful, secure, united, stable Europe? The challenge of strengthening a partnership with a democratic Russia that, despite our disagreements, is a constructive partner in the work of building peace. The challenge of resolving the tensions between Greece and Turkey and building bridges with the Islamic world. And finally, the challenge of ending instability in the Balkans so that these bitter ethnic problems in Europe are resolved by the force of argument, not the force of arms, so that future generations of Americans do not have to cross the Atlantic to fight another terrible war. It is this challenge that we and our allies are facing in Kosovo. That is why we have acted now, because we care about saving innocent lives, because we have an interest in avoiding an even crueler and costlier war, because our children need and deserve a peaceful, stable, free Europe. Our thoughts and prayers tonight must be with the men and women of our armed forces who are undertaking this mission for the sake of our values and our children's future. May God bless them, and may God bless America.
Out of service, out of offering, I wouldn't hang about. I'll be setting wildly out of wind.
Majesty King Clinton, the first king in the New World Order. That's what this is all about, ladies and gentlemen. He is concerned about humanitarian measures, about people being killed. And he always has to throw around that word ethnic. What is an ethnic Albanian? Is there an ethnic American? Is there an ethnic Englishman? Where did this come from? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is the man who ordered the massacre, the murder, the burning of over 86 men, women, and little children, including babies, over half of them black. And if that's not ethnic, by any definition of the word, I don't know what is. In Waco, Texas, people who had done nothing, people who were innocent, people who were not wanted by anybody, people who only defended their home against an armed attack by a bunch of teenage ninja turtle jackbooted Nazi thugs. This is an attack upon a sovereign nation, a nation that has not attacked any other nation outside its borders, a nation that has not committed any act of war. It is not called Serbia. There were a lot of lies told by the president tonight, a lot of lies. It's not Serbia. It's not Bosnia. It's not Herzegovina. It's not Kosovo. It is a nation, ladies and gentlemen, called Yugoslavia, which has existed for many years. For many years. Mr. Milosevic is the head of the legitimate government of the nation of Yugoslavia. Not long ago, all of the so-called ethnic guerrillas, the separatists, who are the ones really responsible for the war in that country, every one of those terrorist organizations were on the United States list of terrorist organizations until it became in the best interest of the New World Order to use them. They are terrorist guerrilla forces who rose up to fracture the nation state of Yugoslavia. Milosevic has tried his best to keep his country intact. That's his job. I find it incredible that President Clinton and all of the communist news networks keep touting the so-called persecution of the ethnic minorities. If you take a census of the country of Yugoslavia, you will find, ladies and gentlemen, that the Serbs are the minorities. The Serbs is the minority. The Serbs have been persecuted for hundreds of years because they have been the minority. It is amazing that not one single news media source has reported any of the atrocities and mass murders committed by these so-called ethnic Albanians and ethnic Bosnians and ethnics against the Serbs. William Jefferson Clinton is one of the biggest liars that has ever lived upon the face of this earth, and yet you are still listening to him, ready to believe what he says. And you all know he's a liar. he lied about sending our troops to Bosnia. He told us. He got on television and told us a bold-faced lie after he signed the Dayton Accords. He said our troops would only be there for 1 year, and then they would come home. I got a copy of the Dayton Accords, ladies and gentlemen. In the Dayton Accords, it clearly stated that we were committing American troops for not less, not one day less than 5 years, and he knew that when he lied to us with that silly little grin of his. That night, when he told the American people we were sending troops to Bosnia. And that ain't all. Russia has pledged military aid to Milosevic, to the legitimate government of Yugoslavia. The Russian military have moved tactical nuclear weapons into Belarus so that they can be in place to be used against NATO forces should it become necessary. They have withdrawn their representative from NATO and withdrawn from the peace alliance. They called a special emergency session of the United Nations Security Council, where Russia's authorized representative warned the world that if necessary, Russia will reserve the right to use military force in defense of the legitimate government of Yugoslavia. At this moment, Russia is moving supplies, ammunition, and weapons across the border into Yugoslavia. The so-called NATO attack, which was not a NATO attack at all, because NATO comes under the United Nations. The United Nations did not order this attack. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? The President of the United States ordered an international organization to attack a sovereign nation. And he has no authority or power to do that. This is very serious. It is a blatant, overt act of war against a nation who has done us no wrong. In fact, has done no one any wrong. They did what Abraham Lincoln did when the South withdrew from the Union. They're trying to keep their nation together. I find this is absolutely incredible. I find it incredible that Americans are parroting the Germans in World War II when they said, we must support our fighting men. No matter what they're doing, we must get behind them. I tell you that my country, right or wrong, is wrong. Remember what the Nazis used as an excuse in the Nuremberg trials? We were ordered by our superiors and we were just following orders. We were acting in the best interest of our nation. We were supporting our troops when they went into harm's way. Ladies and gentlemen, I served for over 15 years. Not just 2 years or 4 years or 6 years like most people do. I served my country over 15 years. Not in just one military service, but in two. I served in the Strategic Air Command of the United States Air Force, and I served in the United States Navy. And I fought in a war. I fought in Vietnam as a river patrol boat captain in some of the worst, most terrible battles that you can imagine. Where you can't dig a hole in the ground and hide in it. There are no trees to get behind. And you stand on an open deck where all can see you in the middle of a river. That you must stand and fight. So I know about war. I know all about war. I know about right, and I know about wrong. During my first few weeks of training when I arrived in country in Vietnam, I was assigned to go out on a boat with an experienced boat captain who hailed a sampan with three fishermen in it and made them pull alongside. They had nothing in the boat except fishing gear. He took a piece of electrical wiring with a core with a plug on the end and began to beat them with it for no reason at all. For no reason at all, ladies and gentlemen. And they wondered why the Vietnamese people became Viet Cong and fought against us. I put my foot in the middle of his butt and I pushed him over the side, over the top of that sampan into the water. I apologized to those three Vietnamese fishermen and let them go. And I would do it again tonight. If President Clinton were standing in front of me beating the Serbs, trying to force them through coercion to sign a treaty they do not wish to participate in, I would put my foot firmly in the middle of his butt and shove him right over the side. You see, that's what the mafia does. They come in and tell you that unless you pay so much money each month, the hoodlums in the neighborhood are going to burn up your store and they will protect you to make sure that that does not happen. What if somebody came to your door and told you that you're going to buy a brand new tractor trailer truck that costs $250,000? And you told them you didn't have $250,000, couldn't make the payments, and you're not going to do it. And they put a gun to your head and said, you are going to do it. And then they started exploding pieces of your house. This is no president. This is a two-bit little street hood who is trying to force his will upon a sovereign nation that is trying to handle their own problems in their own way. And since they wouldn't let him play, he's going to force them to play. It's about world government. It's about building a central world government with a world police force that will make every nation in the world toe the line. It's about the disarmament of every nation and every people upon the face of this earth, ultimately the American people included. And you had better wake up, because this could turn into World War III. I don't know if it will or not. I'm not saying that it will, but it very well could. He's doing it for the children. He's doing it for the children.
There's a calm surrender to the rush of day. When the heat of a rolling wave can't be turned away. And it can't any moment. And it sees me through. It's enough for this reckless warrior just to be with you. And can you feel the love tonight? It is where we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, my sympathies are with those poor people who are being murdered tonight with bombs they cannot even see. They come out of nowhere that they can't defend themselves against. That have no business falling around their ears. And he's doing it for the children. is always doing it for the children, ladies and gentlemen. It's always for the children. Can't you feel it? He loves all of the people in Yugoslavia. He's doing it for them. And he's going to continue to do it. Did you notice during his speech, over his left shoulder was a bust of Abraham Lincoln? That had never been there before. It was placed there intentionally as symbolism. There's only one thing wrong with it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Milosevic is the Abraham Lincoln, trying to hold his country together, trying to fight against separatist guerrillas who are tearing his country apart. William Jefferson Clinton is no Abraham Lincoln. William Jefferson Clinton is the cheap neighborhood crook, the hood, the thug, who asks you for your lunch money. You say you're not going to give it to him, and so he beats you up and takes it anyway. He's a cheap, chronic, habitual liar. And I am ashamed tonight to be an American. In the entire history of this nation, ladies and gentlemen, our military forces have never, ever been called upon to commit such a blatant, overt act of aggression against another sovereign nation in its entire history. I have never in my life felt compelled to say that our military are doing the wrong thing, but I must say it tonight. And what's more, from the reports I get from our people in the military service, they feel the same way. I hear that when the missiles are launched and the bombs are dropped, there's no witty patter going back and forth over the airwaves. On our ships, when the cruise missiles are launched, there is no cheering as there was in Desert Storm. There is grim silence as men carry out their orders that they really wish had not been given. And it has nothing to do with going in harm's way. It has everything to do with being wrong. It's just plain, flat wrong. It violates the United Nations Charter, a charter that I don't subscribe to, but nevertheless, since they're going to banter that around, it violates the United Nations Charter. It violates NATO's Charter. It violates the international law. It is an overt act of war, unprovoked, against a sovereign nation state, using overwhelming military force against a small population. I find this absolutely incredible. What do you think about it? pro or con? Let's hear what you have to say. 520-333-4578. The danger of war with Russia is real. Good evening. You're on the air.
Let me turn my radio down, please.
Sure. But hurry up.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. I think what's going on is very, very wrong, and it leads me to think that knowing that the Russians have always been the best chess players in the world, we're being drawn into a trap into the Balkans here. We have our 6th Fleet sitting out there in the Mediterranean Sea in a big pocket. You can't even get out of it. There's no way to get out of that place.
You could be right.
And I see what's going on, or my impression that's going on in the world is we have two camps of world socialists. We have the socialists over in Russia, you know, with their version of world government, and we have the other socialists in Washington or New York City with their version of world government. And the key to the Balkans, or the key to Europe, has always been that territory in there.
Absolutely. Hitler recognized that.
Everyone has.
World War I forces recognized that. Napoleon recognized that.
The Turks recognized it also. They tried to go through there numerous times.
Absolutely.
And I think even the Mongols at one time tried to invade through there and were run out by the very people that we're warring with now.
Yeah. Do you realize the Serbian population is very small? Actually, I should say the population of Yugoslavia. It's a mixed population. The Serbs are actually the minority. Against everything that you're hearing, the Serbs are the minority and have traditionally, over hundreds of years, been the scapegoats and have been persecuted and subjugated and tortured and murdered by the surrounding population and invading armies. And they're sick of it.
Yes.
During World War II, that small population kept over 20 divisions. Do you know how big a division is?
Yes.
Of the German army occupied so that they couldn't fight anywhere else.
Yeah, that I think was one of the ingredients to the defeat of the Germans was getting tied up in the Balkans.
Everyone who's ever been tied up in the Balkans has been terribly defeated.
And we're going over there. We have a ravenous bunch of Zionists that are running the government also, trying to enforce their view of the world on everyone, and they're calling it UN. They're masking it behind the UN.
But in this instance, they can't do that. The UN had absolutely nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I know, but what they tell the American people is that it's about the UN, but what it is American foreign policy being instigated by these Zionists that have overrun our government today.
Well, it's not just Zionists. It was...
They have all their bedfellows lined up with them.
Absolutely, so, yes.
And
but from
the Russians that I've talked to and the Serbians that I've met here in Houston, I've been talking to them here recently in the last couple of days in the coffee shops where I see them around, and they're all saying, you know what? The problem is not the American people. The problem is Washington, D.C., and they've said, matter-of-factly, y'all have lost your country a long time ago to the Zionist element.
Well, it sounds like they've been listening to the hour of the time.
No, they've never heard of you. They don't even hear a shortwave, but they have not been so brainwashed with, you know, this deal about the 6 million Jews that were killed over in Europe and all of this other garbage.
Did you hear Clinton use that tonight?
No, I didn't, but I'm sure he would use it.
He did use it. He said that Bosnia was responsible for the Holocaust. I mean, the Yugoslavian Balkan area was responsible for the Holocaust. I mean, he threw everything in there that he possibly could to manipulate the minds of the people.
One of the things that, you know, these guys might think that they have been able to, you know, prostitute the Russians with you know, this worthless green paper we call dollars that we keep shipping over there to supposedly buy off the Russians. The Russia, and even though it's divided up into the separate republics right now, is still a sovereign nation. Russia is. and all of the adjoining republics. And you know what? They don't need our money to operate over there.
No, they don't. All they have to do...
They have been just playing along because this whole deal about perestroika, and what are we in, our number six or seventh perestroika? They've always made these overt claims to the West of peace and unity, and let's go fly to the stars together, and let's dance together in our utopian world hand in hand, blah, blah, blah. And they get everybody to buy into this crap here in the West. They sucked out trillions of dollars. And if anything, this is going to be the linchpin that breaks the camel's back, you know, for the whole phony baloney crap that's coming out of New York. You know, the stock market, everything is totally overvalued.
Yeah.
And most of these companies that we see, your Kmarts and your Walmarts and all these other companies in the United States, are existing not on the profits they make, but on the money that they sucker out of the investors.
That's true. Well, let's somebody else get in here. I want to try to get as many people in here tonight as we can.
Great show. Also, great show yesterday.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, by the way, regarding yesterday's topic, oh, boy, did I stir up a hornet's nest. I got a call from Clayton Douglas today, who is just absolutely livid because I won't support the baloney about the contrails. And he tried to talk me in to supporting it. And I said, give me some facts. Can you prove anything? No. Can you prove that contrails are doing anything? No. Then he said, well, let's don't call them contrails. Let's call them chemtrails. I said, can you prove that any chemicals are coming out of those contrails? No. He couldn't prove anything. Couldn't document anything. Kept citing in history the experimentation upon portions of the American population with bio warfare agents, which is true, but has nothing to do with airplane contrails. So eventually, when he couldn't do that, he kept trying to convince me to support it with no facts, no basis, no documentation, no science behind it whatsoever. I just told him to go argue with somebody else and hung up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. It's nice to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in person in about 3 years, I believe. I just found you on the shortwave a couple of months ago. It's great to hear you again.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying the show tonight. I'm glad to hear you all fired up and everything, and I agree with you on this issue. I had a chance to go to Yugoslavia back in 97, early 97.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a musician, and I was traveling over there. We were in Slovenia for a couple of days. There were a lot of Serbian people who came to our shows, and a lot of people from even the Albanian people who came, and I got to meet. And I have friends in Europe who are Serbian, who live in Germany. And I agree with you that it's a sovereign nation. And I want to ask you, Bill, what is the significance, you think, that we've got these two military actions going right now, one in the Middle East that's kind of UN-sponsored, and this one going in Europe is NATO-sponsored? What that really strikes me as odd. I don't hear anybody in the media talking.
It's establishing, or attempting to establish, the authority of an autonomous force as the world police force that can exert its will on other nations, whether or not they're invited, whether or not the nation is sovereign, whether or not anybody else concurs or disagrees or anything. That if they say it will be thus and so, that it will be thus and so, or somebody's going to get killed. That's what it's all about. It's about world government. I need you to talk a lot louder.
The Serbians, for the most part, are Christian. Is that not true? And the Albanians and people in Kosovo, for the most part, they are Muslims. Is that not true?
Yes. And the whole thrust of the New World Order is to completely destroy Christianity. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I do. I've listened to you enough over the years. Going back to 92, you were one of the first things I heard when I turned on the shortwave. And I've enjoyed you for years. And I heard you recently on the Alan Handelman show on FM radio not long ago, and that's how I found out you were back on shortwave, and we found you on shortwave again, and we're just glad to hear you again, and wish you all the best.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to get off and let someone else take over tonight.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
520-333-4578. And no, ladies and gentlemen, I will not support the United States of America in murder, in an overt, unprovoked act of war. You can call me anything you want. I will not do it. I will not be a Nazi. I will not help bring back the Fourth Reich. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. That's Ed in Canada.
Hello, Ed.
Listening to your story today, I'm a little surprised that you're supporting the communist side in this. You know, everybody knows the Serbs are communists. They always have been since World War II. And this is not a religious war. This is a war against communism.
I never said it was a religious war.
Well, a lot of people seem to think it's a religious war. Muslims against Christians. This has nothing to do with Christians and Muslims. This is communists against anti-communists.
Well, I think you're wrong. It's not communists against anti-communists, and the Serbs were never communists.
They are communists.
No, they are not communists. No. Yugoslavia was taken, conquered, grabbed by the Soviet Union. Communism was forced upon them.
Well, their government, along with Stalin.
Their government is not communist. They were not going along with Stalin. And Marshal Tito, who was the head of Yugoslavia, actually was the only Soviet satellite nation that defied Stalin.
Well, look who their allies are today. Red China and Communist Russia. They are supplying the weapons, the tanks.
Hey, if Bill Clinton was sending cruise missiles down my chimney, I'd be allies with them, too.
Haven't you seen the picture of the burning and the looting of villages? I mean, you don't agree with that, would you?
Have you seen the pictures of the so-called ethnic terrorist separatists who are ripping that country apart, burning and killing and looting Serbian homes?
Well, the so-called...
Well, you didn't answer my question. Well, then how come you don't say anything about that? Have you been so brainwashed by the communist news networks?
No, I'm not.
That it's okay for them to kill Serbs and burn Serbs' homes and massacre Serbs and shoot Serb children?
Well, I don't think the Serbs are the victims here. You know, this ethnic cleansing has been going on there for decades.
Ethnic cleansing my butt. That is a propaganda term that don't wash. There is no ethnic cleansing.
These Albanians have lived there for centuries. They didn't just come in across the border from Albania. They've been there for centuries. And I'll tell you, it's the same thing as our French Canadians here in Quebec. What if we... They have been here for hundreds of years. What if we suddenly decide and tell them to get the hell out of Canada, go back to France, or we'll burn down your cities?
They would probably get Russia and Red China as an ally, and they'd probably kick your miserable butt.
Well, the thing is, we would never do that, and that's exactly what the Serbs are doing down there.
You're already doing it. You have denied them the opportunity to have their own state. They don't want to be a part of Canada.
They live in a free country where they can do whatever they want.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't want to live in Canada. They want to have their own country. They want to have their own country. And Canada will not let them.
Well, we are the majority in Canada. We want one country.
Oh, so now you side with Milosevic.
Because there's no genocide going on here.
There's no genocide going on there either. Milosevic did not rebel against anyone. The terrorists rose up against the lawful government of Yugoslavia and began war against Yugoslavia so that they could become separate states. The nation of Yugoslavia did what Abraham Lincoln did, tried to hold the country together.
Anymore. It's been cut up into Bosnia, Macedonia.
By who? By who?
The people broke it up. They didn't want to live under communism. They broke it
the
up
people,
themselves.
The people did not break it up. Communist guerrilla bands, terrorists broke it up, who rose up with guns and hand grenades and bombs. They're not communists. The government of Yugoslavia is not communist and has not been communist since the fall of the...
Milosevic is a communist butcher. Everybody knows it.
No, everybody doesn't know it. You allege it, but you have not proven it. And I have never heard such a thing before. Not even the American press has ventured that far off over the limb.
Yeah, they don't want to get into that.
What do you mean they don't want to get into that? They would... They would use any weapon that they could against Milosevic. They're not saying it because it's not true, and they can't get away with it. You, sir, have lost your mind. 520-333-4578. That man has been so brainwashed. But we welcomed his opinion, and we let him give it, and we will do that to everyone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Hi. It's Carmen from Pennsylvania.
Hi.
Listen, this fellow called from Canada. Isn't it amazing how Quebec lost the election by 51%?
Yeah, how about that?
Just a little 1% was enough to do it.
But you see, according to Bill Clinton, they don't need an election. All they have to do is stand up, declare themselves the ethnic French in Canada, and fire a few weapons at the Canadians, and they should have their own country. And if they can't get their own country, then we should go up there and bomb Canada and force them to give it to them.
Well, that's what we're going to do. All our troops are scattered all over the world.
That's what we're doing in Yugoslavia.
Incredible.
That's what we're doing in Yugoslavia. Exactly that.
The Serbs, aren't they Christians anyway, though? I know it's not a religious word, but aren't they Christians?
I believe they are.
Well, Dan Rather reported on the news. He said that he admitted that they were Christians, and during the Second World War, the Croats sided with the Nazis and also with the Russians after the Second World War. And when when the Russians pulled out, we were saying at work, I said, I don't give them a month before there's going to be some sort of civil war over there. Well, it didn't even last a week. I think the Serbs finally said, after 30 or 40 years of them having their daughters taken out and raped and their throats slashed and thrown on the side of the road, they said, hey, it's payback time.
Well, I don't think they said it's payback time. What I think they said is you're not going to split up our nation.
No,
and they went after these terrorist bands who were doing that with guns and grenades. You don't hear that on CNN, do you?
They pass off four or five police officers getting murdered in the street, Serb police like it's nothing. But meanwhile, they'll lay out all the Croatians or whatever the other ones are, bodies laying out like ducks in a row. Look what's been done here.
Well, they don't even cover the massacre and the murder and the rape and the burning of the Serbs' homes and the Serbs' people and the Serbs' children and the Serbs' women. They don't cover any of that.
In fact, last week on the news, they showed a village, and there's a mosque in the middle of town. Everything around the mosque was destroyed except for the mosque. Now, if the Serbs were doing it, don't you think they would have blown up the mosque?
They would have blown it to smithereens.
Yeah, it smelled. Didn't pass the smell test.
That's right. Have you ever heard that Milosevic is a communist?
I don't know that.
Have you ever heard that the Yugoslavian government was a communist government?
I haven't heard that, but according, you know, it used something the other night that disturbed me.
It used to be under the Soviet Union.
Right.
But it was not beginning the moment the curtain fell. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, you mentioned something about them being socialists.
Who?
You did.
Who being socialists?
I believe you said a few days ago, I was like shocked when you said that Milosevic and the Serbs were socialists. And I said, that can't be right.
No. You must have misunderstood what I said.
I'm glad because I did.
No, you must have you must have totally misunderstood what I said.
The first time when you went off the shortwave and onto the satellite, and I sent you a tape and everything because you needed a copy of the show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
And good luck.
And thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Need to hear from you. What do you think about what's going on? Pro or con? I don't care. And I hope that you can put forth an intelligent, polite, you know, argument. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. This is Joyce in North Carolina.
Hi, Joyce.
Or did you hear it on the radio?
I aired it for you live on this broadcast.
Okay. Well, I saw the last part of it on the TV, and I know you were playing it too, but...
I wasn't playing it. I was airing it live. It was live from the White House.
Right. And I turned on TV, and on the background... Clinton was sitting there, and it was the first time that I had seen in the background was a flag. It had an eagle on it. It looked like the eagle with the arrows in the feet.
That's the flag of the President of the United States.
Right, and below that was a picture.
It wasn't a picture of the bust of Abraham Lincoln.
I thought it was, yes.
There was another one over his right shoulder, but they positioned him wrong, so you couldn't see who that was. But the top of the head resembled Harry Truman's head. I'm not sure if it was or not.
Oh, I see. I didn't notice that. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to point that out, and that was the first I had seen that behind. behind him, but it, maybe I don't see.
No, it's never been there before. It's a symbolism. It was placed there personally to link in the minds of the sheeple William Jefferson Clinton and Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, that's
as if they were the, as if they were the same person.
Right, right. Yes.
What a bunch of bullshit.
That's correct. Okay, well, thank you, Bill.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely incredible. Here's the Yugoslavians trying to prevent their nation from fracturing, being broken up by bands of armed ethnic terrorists. And Milosevic is the real Abraham Lincoln trying to hold his nation together. And Bill Clinton is trying to convince you that he is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. A local commentator here in Philadelphia. Maine.
I need you to talk a lot louder. Can't even hear you.
A local commentator here in Philadelphia mentioned that some of the issue in Yugoslavia had to do with oil. Mainly that Margaret Thatcher's son had oil rights or oil down in Yugoslavia.
I have never heard that before and don't know anything about it and so cannot comment.
Okay.
But I noticed that Margaret Thatcher isn't doing this. Clinton is.
Yeah.
Unilaterally.
Yeah.
He... Oh, hey, listen, this is the opportunity. You know all those blacks out there who wanted to have their own black nation? This is the time to do it because Clinton is supporting anybody who wants to rise up and split their country apart and have their own ethnic nation.
Yeah, like
this is their chance. This is the chance for the American Indians to have their own countries separate from the United States of America. This would be the chance for all of us ethnic patriots to have our own nation where we could have a constitution that's real, you know, instead of this phony one that they're holding up, pretending it's in effect.
Yeah.
But why don't we do that?
Yeah, I wish they would.
Let's all of the ethnic people in this country call on President Clinton to give up territory for us so that we can have our own ethnic terrorist nation. And let's just fracture the hell out of this country. Why don't we do that? You know, he'd have to support us, and he'd have to bomb his own White House if he sends troops after us.
Yeah, well, that's his logic. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I call from California. I called all my senators and congressmen today. I know it doesn't do much good, but I told them I supported Slobodan Milosevic and his stand is nationalism for Serbia / Yugoslavia. I think that this has nothing to do with anything but hiding Clinton and his, you know, China and all like that. And I think that they're trying to just destroy anybody who stands up for their nation and to...
Can't have world government if you allow nationalism to exist. You can't have world government if you allow nation states to be sovereign. You can't have world government if you can't disarm anybody who might not go along with what you want them to do.
Right. Wasn't that McClellan and the guys down in Texas and the Freemen up in Montana? They just wanted to be separatists, didn't they?
Yeah.
I didn't see our government stepping in for their rights.
Oh, no. No, no, no.
and as far as, you know, those guys are all Christians over there, the Serbians are. So I think it's clear that Clinton just wants to go murder Christians. I mean, look at what he did in Waco, Texas. Look at what Jan Arena said about Christians.
Christians, Clinton is a hardcore Marxist socialist and may even be a closet communist.
Right. Not only that, I believe he's a sodomite, too, but that's something else. But anyway, thanks, Bill. You're a good show tonight. Great, better show last night. I've been telling everybody about how can anything live through the internal workings of a turbine engine. And
well, that just blew my mind. And the first time I ever heard anybody say that they were putting biological warfare agents in jet fuel and spraying America with the contrails out the exhaust of the jet engines. You know.
I wanted to say something. One time I was out fishing off of Marina Del Rey, right below LAX, and a plane dumped its fuel. I mean, we could see it coming right at us at about maybe, I'd say about 3,000 foot altitude above the water.
They do that quite frequently.
Right, but the kerosene, even though the thing went directly over us and all the kerosene jet fuel was coming out, it never did hit the water or hit us.
Well, it usually vaporizes.
Right, exactly. So wouldn't any chemical drop from 30,000 feet do the exact same thing?
Well, it would never hit you.
Right.
Even if it hit
me. I was waiting for the kerosene to come down, and you could see yeah. It landed on the water, which had done that funny little thing that petroleum products do in the water, but it never reached the community.
Yeah, one of Clayton Douglas's arguments today on the telephone about why there's something wrong with jet contrails is he said that, I've seen them, Bill, they linger in the sky. I said, yeah, under the right atmospheric conditions with the proper moisture content and temperature, they'll linger and drift for thousands of miles.
Absolutely. And, you know, living here in California, they fly a lot between San Francisco and Los Angeles. All you have to do is drive up like the 101 roadway in the middle part of the state there. You know, you see hundreds of them because every, you know, 20 minutes there's a jet going one way or the other and leaving them.
Yeah. But now, don't get me wrong, folks. I was not saying last night, nor have I ever said. In fact, I revealed most of it in my book that nobody had ever heard before, long before anybody ever knew that it had ever happened, that the United States had experimented on segments of the American population with biological warfare agents and actually made people very ill and on occasion have killed many people.
During the, I believe it was the late 50s, maybe it was the early 60s, they used to put like four or five helicopters up with spray bars on them,
mm-hmm.
and overfly large areas with DDT.
Yeah.
But I mean, that I would say if they were doing that, we'd have a problem. But jet contrails, atmospheric conditions, the kerosene would burn up, anything that would go through that turbine at those, you know, 2 to 1300 degree temperature.
And I still consider him my friend, but he was very angry with me. Very angry with me because I just flat told him, I will not support unsubstantiated rumor. If you can't prove it to me, it's not so. And that's the way it is. All the way it always has been on this broadcast, in my house, with me, and anybody that's around me. Come around me with rumor, I'll just send you packing so quick you won't even know it happened. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. It's a sad day, Bill.
Yes, it is.
In response to the caller who is querying about the religious affiliations of most of the folks around there, as I understand it, the Serbs are generally Greek Orthodox, the Croatians are Roman Catholic, and the Albanians are Muslims.
That sounds about right to me.
That would explain the presence of the mosque. Okay.
Well, yes.
It's been reputed that Iran is helping arm the KLA, part of the thing that is also interesting is there used to be the PKA, I think.
Yeah.
And they were a peaceful arm of the KLA. And.
But you know that up until recently, every single one of them were on the list of terrorist organizations that's kept by the United States Justice Department?
Yes. You know, you brought that to my attention with your website yesterday or this morning. I can't remember when I first saw it. And that has been confirmed by me. Several media sources have also pointed out the fact, that fact. What troubles me is that, you know, guerrilla is now a warm and fuzzy name, and anybody they try to demonize, they call militias.
Yeah.
You know, where...
And anybody they're trying to promote, they're an ethnic... Albanian, ethnic Kosovar, Bosnian.
As I understand it, guerrillas are offensive and militias are defensive.
You know what? It's all bullshit. It's all propaganda buzzwords that they use once they've prepped an audience to receive it in a certain way in order to shape public opinion, not to measure public opinion.
That is so true, and you know, it's I have trouble turning on the TV, like I've said many, many times, and I haven't had it on today. I've been too busy, luckily.
I don't see how they can sit there and face that camera and tell us such blatant, bold-faced lies right to our face without just cracking up.
It boils down to their editorial style sheet. Have you ever seen one of those?
To me, it boils down to psychotic behavior.
Well, yes, because I think the editors are the psychotic ones, and they get their marching orders, obviously, from somewhere else. And anybody can go to, like, say, the NPR website, and they can see their style sheets that they work off of, and there's a bunch of working definitions there. And, you know, it's, you know, they have to follow that strictly, or else they won't get broadcast. They're, you know, it is truly mind control when people can't speak out and go beyond a script.
Yeah. Well, I support Abraham Lincoln. And tonight, Abraham Lincoln is Milosevic.
It appears so. And, there are some things going on that we haven't been told. I do tend to believe that the KLA guerrillas are being very offensive in their methods, and some of the news items out of that area are only being let out to absolve the KLA of their atrocities while, you know, painting Milosevic with a broad brush.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm of Yugoslavian descent, and it really troubles me to see what's going on over there.
It just eats my... It eats
or
my...
Everyone should. And if certain people want to create their own autonomy and remain sovereign, so be it. That's what self-determination is all about. I thought that's what our system of government was all about. We would, you know, we would uphold those who want to self-determine their common government. And it appears so that's what Milosevic is trying to do.
Well, I think so, too. I think he's doing just what Abraham Lincoln tried to do.
And I remember before Tito's death, the Western press would always uphold his virtuousness as far as keeping that country together.
Yes, that's right.
And he
did it without bloodshed, without killing anybody. But there weren't any ethnic guerrillas rising up and throwing hand grenades and killing people and attacking the government either.
No, as a matter of fact, I think they always had little border skirmishes with Montenegro, Upper Montenegro, and Greece.
Yeah.
And that was about the extent of it that you would hear. And, you know, both the Europe is socialist, to varying degrees.
You know, we're all missing a bet. We could all have our own countries. He couldn't deny us.
No,
in the face of what he's doing right now.
So prescient in the way you brought that out, because it is true. I really think you caught on to something with that train of thought, and we should explore that line of reasoning further.
Let's do it. He could not deny us without admitting that he's wrong in over there in Yugoslavia.
Yeah, but why don't we just get a big saw and saw Washington, D.C. and float it off into the Atlantic? How about that?
Oh, I'd love to do that. I would have done that a long time ago. Well, I didn't even need Yugoslavia to put me in that frame of mind.
No.
Worst thing that we ever did was create the Federal District of Columbia to begin with.
Well, I'm going to sign off now. It's a terrible day in American history and world history, and I hope nothing comes our way that is unexpected.
It's the greatest shame for America that we've ever, ever had to face.
I believe so. The aggressor is always the one who's wrong.
Yeah.
So, good night.
Good night. 520-333-4578. See, Clinton wasn't listening to me. I've been telling you for years that in any kind of a conflict, if you hold the moral high ground, the one who fires the first shot loses the war. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Where are all those peace-loving, dope-smoking hippies from the 60s that say, give peace a chance? Where are they right now?
You got me. They're probably on Wall Street all getting rich.
Well, you know, it's convenient for them to go ahead and cry out for peace when there's a communist agenda afoot. But then when national sovereignty is at stake, they like to back off.
Well, that's not in the best interest of communism, which goal has always been to control the whole world.
Right. So it seems to me that really those people in Hollywood and the liberal media have been dumping a double standard down our throats for so long that we don't know the difference anymore.
Oh, I've always known that difference. I've always known what Hollywood's been up to, even before I understood what the hell was going on anywhere else. I knew that Hollywood was some bad stuff coming out of there. I need you to talk louder, by the way.
I beg your pardon?
I need you to talk louder.
Okay. Well, the people that listen to shortwave radio...
You're not talking louder. You just went on in the same tone. You got to talk louder. I'm trying to keep a level on you so people can hear you well, and you don't have any level.
Okay, well, I'm speaking very loud, but anyway, my feeling is this, is that Bill Clinton is sacrificing our troops at the altar of Moloch, and he does not mind doing it because he is basically involved in the dark side of religion. And if I can say it, I think he's a Satanist.
You know something? You were doing good till you brought all that in here. All you had to do was make a point that what he's doing is wrong and let people make up their own religious viewpoints, and you've just alienated everybody who doesn't understand what you just said.
Well, I'm expressing my viewpoint just as you express yours.
Nobody denied you that. I'm just telling you that it would have been better if you had not brought religion into Clinton's motives, because, tell you quite frankly, I don't think his motives have anything to do with religion or Satan or anything else. I think it has to do with cementing the power of world government.
Well, from those of us who have a religious standpoint, we see this tying in with biblical prophecy. And I know that the people out there can disagree with me, and that's fine. But that's just my opinion. I wanted to express it, and thank you for bringing this up on the program tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Folks, try to leave your religion out of this, please. If you want to preach, become a minister, get your own church. Please don't preach on my broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Thank you so much for being there for us. I'll try to talk loudly for you. I'm calling from Hot Springs, Arkansas. My name's Carol. I want to thank you for the program last night and for tonight.
Well, you're welcome.
And to let you know, I agree with you 100% that Bill Clinton wants to be king of the world, and that's what this is all about, is to bring about the new world order.
Yeah, he even kicked the United Nations in the teeth. How is it that a president of one of the member nations of the NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, can arbitrarily take control of an international military force and order it to attack a sovereign state, unless he's already the king of the world?
Do you know, Dan Rather did say that tonight on the news, that this was the first time that these planes had been used to drop bombs on a sovereign nation.
Well, it's true.
And I couldn't believe it came out of his mouth, but that was in his commentary. And I told our congressman this morning the words that I just said to you. Now, where do we go from here, Bill?
Congress has turned into a Nazi organization.
Absolutely.
And they're now supporting the SS no matter what they do, because when our SS is in harm's way, we must support them. That's what the Nazis did. That's what Congress is doing. That is wrong reasoning. It is bullshit.
Well, that's what I told him. And
if we're doing something wrong, Congress ought to be standing up and stopping it.
So I am about through.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, Bill.
Yeah, I haven't gone anywhere.
Oh, okay. And for the ethnic groups here in this country being able to...
What is this ethnic group stuff? We're Americans, all of us.
Well, I...
You want to fracture this country, then become an ethnic whatever you
want
to be.
No, I don't want to be an ethnic anything. I want to be an American, but I think that we have the dirt grounds now to go to Clinton and tell him to form our own country.
Yes,
well, good. I think that the...
You're right.
The Republic of Texas probably has grounds for a retrial now.
You better believe it, and he couldn't turn them down now, could he?
No.
He can't turn anybody down now, because that's what he said his goal is. His goal is to support the ethnic minorities when they want to become autonomous or separate independent nations. Whether they're guerrilla terrorists, and no matter how many people they're killing or what they're doing, it doesn't matter. Clinton's going to help them. So, yes, you're right. This is the opportunity for everybody in this country who wants to have their own nation to take it right now. Well,
that I can trust.
Thank you for saying that.
Bye-bye.
I'm very flattered that I've earned your trust. Although, I still must warn you, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely no one, including me, because that's what got us here. Trusting people we should not have trusted. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Denise in Perth.
Hi, Denise.
Am I talking loud enough?
Yes, you are.
Okay. When you were doing Clinton's speech, the references to the Holocaust, I feel I have no... I wondered at the time a couple weeks ago why they were showing a Schindler's List, and I... Now I think I know why.
Yeah, they use that to manipulate people, although the Holocaust had absolutely nothing to do with the Balkans.
Right. Something else I'm really curious about. I can remember a couple of years ago when Albania went through a financial collapse, and at the time there were a lot of people that were refugees out of Albania, and I'm wondering how many of those settled in the Kosovo area.
I have no idea.
It might be where some of them, I mean, they may not have lived there that long.
Well, you know, to me it doesn't matter. They were part of a nation.
Yeah.
All of a sudden...
Your point. I'm just, you know, maybe... it'd be like South Americans or something moving here and deciding to break away and go with one of their countries or
yeah.
It's yeah. Not right.
How come Clinton's not supporting the Zapatistas in Mexico?
Shouldn't he?
who all they want is their own country.
Yeah.
They want to be left alone. They don't want to be a part of Mexico anymore. How come he's not supporting the Zapatistas, who are really, if you want to use the buzzwords, an ethnic minority, ethnic guerrillas, ethnic separatists? How come we don't have NATO or the United States Air Force down there bombing Mexico? How come?
Good question.
How come we didn't bomb China when they butchered all those people in Tiananmen Square? How come we didn't do anything when Pol Pot murdered millions of Cambodians, not just a few thousand, millions?
And why aren't we doing something about the fighting between Christians and Muslims in Indonesia?
Yep. And how come we don't have troops over there in Sudan? And how come we didn't do anything when they butchered all those people in Rwanda? You know what? We never, ever go to the aid of blacks. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Never. They could butcher millions of blacks in Africa. Clinton wouldn't lift a finger. Because the truth is, no matter what, how he drips icing over the race question to make himself look good, he's a racist.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. I'm going to let you go, and I agree with you 100%. I feel very sad about this situation also.
I feel absolutely sick. It makes me sick. I am ashamed to call myself an American on this day. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. If you've got something to say, pro or con, give us a call. As long as you're polite and have some kind of an intellectual thing to say, then, by golly, we'll give you the floor. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Pete in West Virginia. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Pete. Fine as can be under the circumstances.
Good. I agree with you 100% on the Yugoslavia issue, and growing up on Air Force bases, I was always told the white stuff behind the airplanes was ice crystals.
That's exactly what it is.
That's why we can see it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put that out because I haven't heard anybody bring that part up.
Oh, yeah. It was discussed in depth last night.
Oh, okay.
Jay explained exactly how contrails are formed and what they consist of and all kinds of stuff.
I missed that part. I'm sorry that I did. Sometimes reception is not real good here.
Oh, we understand that.
But I'm glad to hear you back on the air, and I do appreciate the messages that you're putting out. They seem to be straightforward and always have been.
Well, thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. They were in the newspaper and on television talking about Yugoslavia's air defense system is supposed to be pretty good, but it doesn't appear that they're using it.
No, they're not using it now because air defense systems of that type do not work well against cruise missile systems, and that's what they're using. When the reporters say they heard jet planes overhead, what they heard was cruise missiles flying overhead toward their target. Cruise missiles are launched from many, many miles away. And until they send airplanes in there that are actually carrying bombs to drop those bombs on targets, they won't use their precious number of missiles against targets that they probably can't hit.
Yeah, what they have in there, what I've read, is supposed to be a lot better than what the Iraqis have. I think it
Oh, yes, we're going to lose some pilots. We're going to lose some American lives. And heaven help those boys and our young women if they send troops in there on the ground to try to fight Serbian forces on the ground.
I agree with you.
They absolutely stopped over 20 Nazi divisions in World War II. That's how good they are.
Well, I heard that these missiles that they have in there have a much higher altitude than what the Iraqis had. That they go much higher.
Well, I think you heard right. They've got a modern missile anti-aircraft defense system, and it's mobile. So they can keep moving them around so that even if they're spotted, by the time a cruise missile gets there, they're gone.
So the best Russian air defense is good? The best Russian air defenses, which the Yugoslavians have, is a good air defense?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I thought once they turned it on that those planes, like, hooked in on it, like in Iraq, and then would just fire on it and destroy it.
It depends on how it's used.
And
it also depends on whether they have ECM systems of their own, which is electronic countermeasures.
Oh, really? Wow.
It also depends as if they're smart enough to go up there and get those radar planes instead of going after fighters. You know, people haven't caught on to this yet.
Yeah. Well, they said that,
I hope they don't, because there's Americans in those planes. I don't want any of our people to get killed in this thing. I think it's absolutely the most insane thing we've ever done. I think we're going to lose a lot of lives. I think we're going to regret it. I think this is going to be a dark day in American history. I think Bill Clinton is a miserable, miserable traitor.
I agree with you. They were saying also, and I had never heard this before, that the Serbs in that part of the world had kept the Muslims from taking Europe about 600 years ago or something.
Well, that's true.
That is true?
That's true. The Moors came into Europe and tried to conquer Europe, and they were stopped right there in the Balkans.
Boy, those must be some tough people in there.
They are tough. You ain't seen nothing yet. If we go in there and try to engage them on the ground with our little techie soldiers, they're going to get their butts kicked. I'm afraid to tell you that, but it's true.
Well, I read that they have 75,000 soldiers in there.
Well, I don't know the exact number of their military forces, but in time of emergency, the whole nation becomes military. That's what they did in World War II. The whole nation.
Oh, really?
Men, women, and children became soldiers. Stopped the Germans in their tracks and kept them busy. You know how many soldiers? And the Germans had the most modern military in the world. Those people with a bunch of rifles and sticks of dynamite and stuff that stopped over 20 German divisions and kept them occupied for years?
Wow. That's something. That really is. Well, I don't think they're going to be stupid enough to put our soldiers in there on the ground. I don't think they're that dumb.
Well, we don't know how stupid Clinton really is yet, do we? This was pretty stupid.
Yes, it sure is. And they were saying that, you know, these pilots that we have, they're very educated men. A lot of them have master's degrees. And that Clinton had said back when he was a younger man, I don't know if he actually said this, they claim he did, that he had said he was too educated to serve. I'd never heard that one before.
Well, I think you're misquoting the letter that he wrote to dodge the draft. And he did say something that could be interpreted to mean that, but he did not say that, no.
Yeah, that's what Bob Dornan was saying on TV the night that Clinton had said that.
Well, the letter's all over the place. You can get a copy of it and read what he actually said. I don't have it here in front of me, but we do have several copies in our files.
Yeah, well, you have a good night, and I hope our soldiers don't get shot down, but I agree with you totally that, you know, they're making it sound like this Yugoslavian leader is, you know, they're just slaughtering everybody in there, and it's just totally their fault.
Well, it's not true at all. It's propaganda. It's being used to foment public opinion to back up this illegal invasion of a sovereign nation.
Well, then, okay, you have a good night. They're probably picking on the wrong people this time.
Well, I wish they weren't, and I wish nobody was going to get hurt on either side, but a lot of people are going to die. Unfortunately, it's just going to happen. It's already happening. They're dying right now while we're talking.
Yep. You know, one more thing. You know, we push a lot of people around out there in the world.
Someday the world's going to get tired of that, aren't they?
Well, I mean, we're like a, we're just like a big bully a lot of times.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's worse than being a bully tonight. I mean, this is this is just outright criminal coercion. This is the hoodlum on the block that comes around and shoots your foot off if you don't give him your car.
Yep. Okay. Good night. You have a good night.
Good night. Thanks for calling. You know, I really didn't want to do this broadcast tonight. I really struggled with just forgetting about it and doing a rerun. I really struggled with that because I just didn't. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, William.
Good evening.
What a sad day in America it is.
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is incredible.
I still find it hard to believe that Americans are doing this, and that Congress and the Senate has said nothing. Instead, they Nazied out. They became Nazis. Oh, we got to support the SS no matter what they're doing, no matter how many people are killing, they're throwing people in the ovens. We got to support them because they're our boys, and they're in harm's way.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. That defense did not work at Nuremberg, and it's not going to work today, and I'm not going to let them get away with it.
Neither am I. I'm a long winded, brother.
Well, thank you,
sir. See you later, William.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Cooper. This is Myron calling from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Myron.
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment regarding one of your earlier callers.
Uh-huh.
Who was from Canada as well, namely Ed.
Yeah.
First of all, as a university student who's actually taking courses in Eastern European history, I find it a little outrageous that a person should generalize a people by calling them collectively as communists, whether they be Serbs or Russians or any other type of nationality. I haven't come across, in my readings, I haven't come across any nation whose people would hold a common political viewpoint.
You're right.
It's not being very objective when you make such comments.
No, it's not. But I understand where he's coming from. He is a creature of the television set.
Yes.
And he has been thoroughly brainwashed. He is parroting the line.
Yes, of course. And what is odd, I mean, based on what I have researched and studied, is that during World War II, just to go and dwell on the historical aspects of the Balkans, during World War II, aside from Tito's partisans, there was also another military force that operated in the Balkans, namely the Chetniks.
Yes.
Were composed and led mostly by Serbs, as I understand it. And at times, even when the Germans were occupying them, the Chetniks would fight against the communists.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
And these were Serbs, mind you. And these were not communists. The Chetniks were not communists. They were, in fact, monarchists, as I understand it.
That's correct.
Upholding the legitimate government as it existed prior to the German invasion of Yugoslavia.
Yes, they supported the Habsburg line, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And they were not communists at all. So I fail to understand or to understand why a gentleman like Ed would want to make such a comment that Serbs are collectively communists, when in fact history demonstrates that they were not. That the Chetniks, as an example, they fought against Tito, who, by the way, by ancestry, was Croatian.
Yes.
Who is not a Serb. So,
that's correct.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you see, you have to do a lot of history to understand these things, you know, not just...
Well, unfortunately...
copy what's, or emulate or believe what's coming out of the television. Got to hit the books and read.
Yeah, but, you know, that requires work. That requires that you do something, and oh, heaven forbid that anybody would not believe what they're being told on the tube and really actually go look it up and see what the truth is. Heaven forbid. I mean, that's work.
Yeah, well, you know, not all people think that way. I mean, there are some of us here that who actually do real research and do spend time at the library.
Thank God for that.
And, also, I want to make a comment with your previous caller, the caller before the last one. You mentioned that the Moors attacked the Balkans.
Yeah,
centuries ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think you made a, if I'm not mistaken.
The Moors came from Africa in through Spain,
uh-huh.
And through from the
because on my
the east of the Balkans, through the Balkans. They attacked on a double-pronged front. And there's still Moors in Spain, but they were really beat really bad in the Balkans.
Yes, but from what I have read, I thought it was the Ottoman Turks who invaded the Balkans.
Well, they did it also.
Oh, yeah. And I think they were the ones who were occupying the longest.
Yeah, everybody who ever tried to invade Europe, well, not everybody. Some came from other avenues, but all of the ones who came or tried to come through the Balkans found themselves deeply mired in long wars and usually ended up retreating and going back.
Yes, yes. And as I understand it, I think the Turks were the longest occupiers of the Balkans for the past 1,000 years.
That's correct.
Yeah, and then it was only in the beginning of this century when their authority started to wane and you had these independence movements arising amongst other Balkan nation-states, beginning with Greece in 1821, and then pursuing, I think, there are still Turkish minorities living in some of the independent states, but this process of disintegration already began to really develop towards the beginning of this century. That's why you hear this term Turkey being called the sick man of Europe in the circles of European diplomacy.
Oh, you, is your major history?
Well, history and political science.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you very much. But, you know, that's my interest. You know, I like to. You should see my collection of books. I have a nice collection here as well of various interesting material.
Well, good.
Here at the University of Toronto, we have a huge library, John T. Roberts Library.
Uh-huh.
Has over 11 million volumes of books, and there's a lot of information there.
Well, that's great.
and I avail myself of it.
Here in the United States, most people now that you meet, unless they accidentally stepped into their school library when they were in high school, have never visited the library in their life.
Well, and they wouldn't want to, probably.
No, no. And aside from romantic books and detective novels and pornography, they don't read anything.
Yes, and it's unfortunate. By the way, I forgot to mention today, in fact, as I was watching the local news here in Toronto, there was a huge demonstration on the part of a number of members of the Serbian community in front of the U.S. consulate here in Toronto.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. I wish there were more.
Yes, and I noticed that there were some signs. For example, I saw a person carrying a sign on it. It was written, NATO, and then there was an equal sign, and a Nazi swastika.
He's right on.
So the equation NATO equals Nazism. And
yeah.
That's the message that they were putting through. And it's unfortunate that Clinton has decided to engage in such a policy because it contributes to a lot of anti-American sentiment abroad.
Well, you see, Clinton is not acting on behalf of the United States of America or the Constitution. He's acting on behalf of an international conspiracy to create a one-world totalitarian socialist government.
Yes.
That is his agenda, and that's his loyalty, and that's what this is all about.
Yes, but the thing is that it's not just the American people who are usually ignorant of that, but it's many people abroad as well.
Yes.
I've come across people here in Toronto especially, students, radical leftists. I mean, the leftists are not shy about displaying their organization or their presence on university campuses, even here at the University of Toronto. And events such as this really furthers their cause, mind you, especially on the grassroots level. They try to use these events to portray Americans as fascists, and in order to stop them, we as communists or socialists are the only alternative. And this wins a lot of adherence, especially many people who are ignorant.
Well, I'm sad to say that you're right.
Yeah.
But in this instance, they're right. And while I may disagree with their agenda, you know, I tell the truth. When they're right, they're right. When we're right, we're right. When, you know,
that's the thing. Regardless of whatever ideology or political belief a group or a person may believe, if they're bringing up the truth and can verify it, then one has no other choice but to agree if they themselves truly adhere to the principles of being truthful.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go. I don't want to monopolize your time anymore, but I have to admit it was quite difficult trying to get a hold of you today. Very interesting topic.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Cooper. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for studying and reading and learning and not being a dead brain like so many people. And I goofed. It's way past time, but here it goes. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. I'm William Cooper. This is the hour of the time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Jeffrey again from New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is because I took a course in the Balkan history in the 1960s during my graduate studies at East Carolina.
Uh-huh.
The book I'm going to cite you is The Balkans in Our Time by Robert Lee Wolf, Harvard University Press, 1956. First of all, we allowed Yugoslavia to go communist because of a percentage agreement signed on October 9, 1944 in Moscow between Churchill and Stalin.
That's correct.
And number two, the real reason for the split between Stalin and Tito was over the degree of conversion of Yugoslavia to communism. In other words, Tito wanted to go more gradually than Stalin wanted him to do so.
Uh-huh. Well, Tito didn't want to lose the loyalty of his people.
That's right. And so Tito, when he broke with Stalin, set up a a sort of a mixed socialist system where you had some private enterprise, but a lot of it was state controlled. He didn't get rid of all the collective farms, but he kept some of it. Now, as far as what we're seeing in the Kosovo situation, nobody has clean hands. We shouldn't even be in there.
That's right. It's none of our business to begin with.
That's correct. It's none of our business. Because in the first place, you've got two ethnic groups that are fighting over there, and that nobody's working to, none of them are working to try to set up a constitutional republic the way we do in the United States.
Yeah.
No, and nobody over there, including any of the sides in that business, is willing to work to establish such a system as we have under a constitutional republic. So nobody's respecting anybody's rights. So really, we should be thinking about getting out of the United Nations and getting out of NATO, because NATO has, in fact, tied our hands throughout this whole affair, and especially given the fact that the British have acknowledged that the UN law is now superior to their law by keeping Augusto Pinochet in Britain and preparing to extradite him to Spain. It's obvious that this world government business keeps marching on, and that the Kosovo thing is there to cover up this marching on of the world government.
Yeah, it's also a part of it. If they can succeed without being taken to task and paying for it, in invading a sovereign nation and exerting their will over it, that sets a precedent that's going to be pretty hard to knock down.
That's correct. And, of course, the president can come back to hurt us later on. It already has hurt us in Waco. We've gone over that tonight. So I would say that since we don't have clean hands, we got to straighten ourselves out first by getting rid of this socialist government we have over here before dealing with what's going on in the rest of the world.
Yeah, you know, there's something I'm going to try to talk about tomorrow night, and that is that the world body, which takes nations to task for the inhumane treatment of its citizens, has just named the United States as one of the worst offenders of human rights violations.
I'm not surprised at that, and especially with the light that Congress wants to pass this international criminal court business again. They want to try and bring that thing up out of the woodwork. So we're going to have to write on that, especially in the light of the imprisonment of Pinochet over in Britain.
Congress does not have the authority to give away the sovereignty of the United States. They only have the authority that's granted to them in the Constitution. And unless there is an amendment to the Constitution changing the sovereignty of the United States of America, Congress does not have the power to approve of a criminal court that will reach into our jurisdictional boundaries and make rulings.
That's absolutely correct. I'm going to let you go and let some other people get in, but I just wanted to bring up these points tonight to try to straighten some things out from some of these people.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Jeffrey. I appreciate it.
Oh,
and by the way, you ought to get together with all of your fellow blind guys and get your own state while you're at it. You can get your own country. And, you know, they couldn't say no. Anybody want your own country? Get together with like-minded people. You've got a chance now like you've never had before. Isn't this amazing? Absolutely amazing. Yeah, The International Commission on Human Rights has named the United States of America as one of the greatest human rights violators in the world. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is John. You know, if England and France, and this is a historical fact, if when Hitler went into the Rhineland in 1936, he was weak militarily. England and France would have had no problem in stopping him if they had had the guts, but they didn't.
That's true. The French troops were so shocked by the blitzkrieg tactics of the German tank forces that they didn't even stand and fight. They just got up and ran away.
Well, he just marched in.
Yeah, that's because they ran away. They didn't
that's
fight.
Right.
They did not fight. If they had fought, it wouldn't have happened that way.
You know, these people, Bill, in Kosovo or Kosovo have lived there for 600 years.
So?
So?
Yeah.
Well, don't they have a right to live in peace? I mean, they're 90% Muslims.
They were living in peace until a guerrilla organization rose up against the legitimate Yugoslavian government and demanded separatist status. Most of the people were not a part of that and didn't have anything to do with it. That's exactly right. And up until recently, the KLA was named by the United States Justice Department as a terrorist organization.
Well, whether they are or aren't, I don't know.
Well, they absolutely are.
Well, it seems to me that there's a parallel here between what Hitler did in the Rhineland and what Milosevic is doing in Kosovo.
And what the United States government did to the Native American.
Well,
and same thing.
Human rights. You're always talking about the little guy being pushed around by the big, you know, the bully on the block.
Yeah, I don't like it. I never have liked it. And when a bully starts pushing me around, I shove his teeth down his throat.
It's a small world.
No, it's not. It's the same size as it has always been.
No, well,
the world has not shrunk.
Yes,
not,
it has shrunk. This guy is a loose cannon.
The world has not shrunk. It's the same size. The world is the same size.
He has no right to go in there.
Who has no right?
Hello?
Who has no right? Hello?
Yes.
Who has no right?
Milosevic.
He does too. He's the legitimate head of the government of Yugoslavia. He is fighting against rebel guerrilla bands, terrorists, who have risen up to fracture his nation.
He is basing, his premise is based on a battle which the Serbians lost 600 years ago.
No, he's not. He's basing it on Yugoslavia is a nation. All of these people are in that nation.
He's a fascist.
He's not a fascist.
Oh,
he's the head of the government.
He's a dictator.
He's not a dictator. He's the head of the government. Lawful, legitimate head of that government.
By free election?
You can't measure the Yugoslavian government by how our government is selected. It's none of our business. It's their business, and they have a right to decide their own fate in their own country, as long as they're not reaching out and attacking any other country.
By force.
By any way they want to. Abraham Lincoln held this nation together by force. Now, I bet you'd be one to argue that Abraham Lincoln was right in what he did, wouldn't you?
Well, it was a civil war.
Well, that's a civil war in Yugoslavia. I'm glad you finally realized that.
Things were a lot different back then.
Things are a lot different all the time, all throughout history. But it's still none of our business.
Well,
it's their civil war, just like it was our civil war. And Abraham Lincoln held the Union together by force. And his troops, after he was dead, they weren't his troops anymore, but the Union Army committed terrible atrocities in the South during the Reconstruction period.
Well, that happens on both sides.
Oh, now it's okay.
No.
You know what? And by the way, your name is not John. Every time you call, use a different name. I wish you'd get honest sometime. You know that? Do you actually believe that nobody recognizes your voice?
Well, I would care less.
Well, you know what? I care less about you. Good night. Oh. You see? He's a hypocrite. He's two-faced. I just can't stand that. He's not honest. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, yes. I think one aspect of this that hasn't been acknowledged is Clinton, if you remember a couple months ago, came out in the news that he was actually receiving oral sex while on the phone to a congressman about our troops in Bosnia. And so I can't take him seriously when I see him on the news pretending to be concerned about our greatest and best over there in the Balkans.
Absolutely. I think there should be a camera under that desk.
I think it's despicable. He cares nothing about these young men.
No, he doesn't.
And if we really want to look at genocide, you know, I don't know your feelings on abortion, but there has been 35 million...
Abortion is murder.
Babies murdered on our soil.
Abortion is murder.
And it is murder, and it's genocide, and that needs to be addressed. We don't need to go over there and rescue these people. I certainly wish that all women and children in the world could be protected, but I think that we need to start right here in the mother's womb.
I don't think that all women and children in the world should be protected. I think that all people in the world should be protected. I don't think women and children have a special status, are any more important than men or boys.
Okay. Okay.
I'm tired of this politically correct bullshit.
We're doing it to save the women and the children.
Hey, I was in Vietnam. A woman can kill you quick, buddy, and so can a child.
Another issue I wanted to bring up is there's an ethnic minority in South Africa, and they're white, and they're being slaughtered by niggers.
Hey, goodbye.
He needs to be stopped.
Hey, you racist, two-faced pig, don't you ever call this broadcast again. You want to know the biggest plague against the human race in this world is people like you, you scum-sucking jerk. The reason for most of the wars that have ever been fought are because of idiots. No brain jerks like you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Bob from the compound in New Jersey.
Compound?
Compound, yes, sir.
What compound?
Well, Janet Reno says any set of buildings in more than one building is a compound. And I got a barn and a garage, so I guess I got a compound.
I guess according to her definition, if that's her definition, you do.
That is her definition, but it is a sad day for America, is it not, my friend?
Yes, it is.
And the saddest part is, I think, 75% of the American people are going to buy this shit. They think it's wonderful that we're out saving the world again.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. Now, I don't mind if you use the term bullshit, because
okay,
that's not an obscene word, and,
okay,
and it has a definite meaning that has nothing to do with the second half of the word. So clean up your language, or I'm going to let you go.
Okay, forgive me. And also, I never knew that you were a boat captain in Nam.
Yes, I was, on the Quaviet River, also in Da Nang, on the Da Nang River. In fact, I was
patrolled there with the 9th Marines.
Ah, well. We
were about 18 months.
Then you're a brother.
Also, what a lot of people aren't going to realize, those pilots are going to be flying against the best stuff the Russians got.
That's right.
It's not going to be the junk they had in Iraq.
No, it's not.
The Russians are going to put their top stuff in there and see how well it works.
And the Iraq has never fought us yet.
No, I understand that. Did you hear last night? I work nights sometimes, and they said something about a plane with the Russian dignitaries on it in the middle of the Atlantic turning back after Clinton announced that he was going to go forth with the attack?
Yeah, that was the Russian premier who was coming over here for negotiations. Remember, they spent all day saying that the NATO attack on Yugoslavia would not affect the visit of the Russian premier?
Yes.
Well, they forgot to consult him on that because he it had everything to do with his visit.
I'm telling you, sir, I'm telling you. But it is... I just, I don't want to see those boys lose their lives.
I don't either.
Like we did over there for nothing.
Yep.
And I'll let you go to somebody else, you know.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578. Boy, he brought back some memories. I was patrolling the river the night that a rocket hit the Da Nang ammunition dump by the Da Nang Bridge. And I'm telling you, I thought the whole world was coming to an end. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Cooper. This is Tammy from Kansas.
Hi, Tammy.
I have a 23-year-old brother who's an E-5 mortarman stationed at Fort Riley. And my whole family is just so worried for him over this whole thing in Kosovo. My father's a Vietnam vet, and he knows what's in store for him if he goes. Before he left for training in Georgia recently, he told us of an E-7 platoon sergeant told him that he's a Christian, and he refuses, if he's called, to go and fight the Serbs. And I was wondering if you've heard anything along the lines of that in the military, because I know you have connections, and I was just wondering if you've heard what the word is.
No, I've never heard that before, and I don't believe that a soldier could get away with it.
Yeah, I know. We're all very afraid for him, because we know that this whole thing is...
Well, you have a right to be afraid. They're not, you know, this is a different enemy this time.
Mm-hmm.
These people will fight to the death.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very patriotic, and they have a long history of warfare behind them.
I know. I just think this whole thing is wrong. I can't believe that the American people are not speaking out about this, you know, saying since it's wrong that we are even going over there.
I think the American people are speaking out, but the news is not reflecting it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're not seeing it reported on the news. You're not seeing it reported on the communist news networks. All you're getting from them is propaganda. But if you listen to the talk radio across the nation, just go through your AM and FM dial,
mm-hmm.
and a shortwave dial, and listen to what you hear. I think you're going to find out that people are speaking out, and that they're very upset about this.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Bill, it seems to me that the high command of what was the Red Army is on our side. The problem that is possible is that the junior officers and the general public, the reservists, the veterans of Afghanistan, they probably don't have access to heavy weapons, and they would probably like to participate. But I got to believe that Yeltsin is basically a stooge of the West.
Well, we don't really know what the Russians are doing. We know what they said they're going to do, and we know for a fact that they have moved atomic tactical weapons into Belarus, and that they are moving supplies into Yugoslavia to support the Yugoslavian government. Now, whether or not they would commit troops and aircraft to a real battle is something that we're going to have to wait and find out about. But basically, I kind of think Yeltsin's a stooge, too. But you see, the hardcore communists in Russia,
right,
are just waiting for an excuse to topple the Western puppets and get back into power.
Right. What do you know, Bill, about any U.S. involvement in terms of helping the Russians with intelligence during the Chechen campaign? Weren't we involved in helping them?
Yes, we were.
Right. So
we were not only involved in helping them, we sent some of our special forces people and advisors over there to actually help them fight against the Chechens.
Right.
I reported that on this broadcast.
Right. So here's the thing. It seems to me if Yeltsin is a stooge, and he's preventing Russian nationalists and communists from regaining control of the heavy weaponry, that's in our interest.
Well, it only seems to be in our interest, because all of the intelligence that I've ever been able to gather on Russia fits Golitsyn's scenario right down the line. I think Alexander Golitsyn is absolutely correct I think the fall of the Soviet Union was a deception to disarm the West and help bring about a one-world government, and that's always been their goal.
What would be the locus of control of that?
It doesn't matter to the hardcore communists. If they can get world government, then through political maneuvering, they can get control of it.
I see. Because I've been tended to think that Washington and London are trying to synthesize a new socialism out of Western governments and what was the Soviet Union, and that it was really being run by Washington and London.
Well, I don't think anybody really knows who's running it, and I don't think anybody's really running it. I think it's done by consensus of a lot of organizations and groups of people who are communists to the core, who are working for a communist world, and they'll go about getting it any way they can.
Which brings up this. What?
You see, when they destroyed Joseph McCarthy and demonized what they call McCarthyism, it allowed the communists to take control of this government. And that's exactly what's happened.
Right. What more is known, if anything, about the connections with East Germany and Strassmeier?
Well, you know that Strassmeier's father was a very highly placed person in the German government and was, in fact, probably a double agent for both the CIA and the East German bloc.
Right.
And, you can read all about that on my webpage, actually, because I've got quite a bit of information there about him.
So the message is to the general public that they're on their own, that this is being done over their heads.
We are on our own. We're not under constitutional law anymore. We are living in tyranny. And it's just a matter of time before we're rounded up and disposed of, the ones that they don't want in their new utopian order.
Right. All right, Bill, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good night.
And all of this is, you know, it's been planned out. I mean, if you look at the plans that the United Nations have for the biospheres in this nation, you can see that there's no possible way that it can happen unless a lot of people are killed. And we're just about to go out of the world here. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. I'm sorry I lost track of time.
Glad you could make it. Welcome to the new world order. Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, the